Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the words of St. Matthew as recorded in chapter 20, verses 20 to 28 for the meditation this morning. We rise for the reading. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on your left." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And hearing this, the 10 became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Thus far the text. That men seek positions of power and prestige is, I'm sure, a well-known fact. Some people see this striving as a normal enough occurrence, others see it as a dismal fact of human and political life. Whether we like to admit it or not, we ourselves experience these same drives, whether it be in our family, in our work, even in our churches and in its various groups. But because this striving is so common, does not necessarily mean that it is good. In fact, it is downright hostile to the kingdom of God and our life in that kingdom. This text for this morning lays bare such folly of status seeking. In its place, it describes the proper life of the Christian, which is characterized as one of service. A call is issued to us to join Jesus Christ in living life as sons of God and join to that life through God's Son. Our text describes what to our ears sounds like a strange way to greatness. Zebedee's wife made a request on behalf of her two sons in this text. It was a request for her two sons to be placed in positions of prominence and authority in God's kingdom. Well, this request could be seen as commendable to the extent that she was seeking God's kingdom. The error in her request lies in its misdirected goal. Zebedee's wife is rebuked for trying to remake the kingdom of God and snatching it from God's hand. Jesus told her, "You do not know for what you are asking." The kingdom of God does not exist for the purpose of satisfying our own personal goals and desires. Jesus' judgment on such desires as that is, "You do not know for what you are asking." However, don't misunderstand the point behind Jesus' words here and Jesus' rebuke of Zebedee's wife. She was rebuked for attempting to manipulate the kingdom to her own advantage. Nonetheless, Jesus' exhortation and invitation still stands to us. Desire, seek the kingdom. Typical of Jesus' pastoral approach to those who came to him with questions was to respond with another question in turn. In this way, Jesus not only rebuked the error, but also attempted and engaged in purifying the person from that error in the first place. Watch now what Jesus asks Zebedee's wife. "Are you able to drink," or Zebedee's sons, "are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" Here is the decisive question. When they reply, "We are able," he tells them that indeed they will drink of that cup. Jesus' question and promise reveal to us what it means to desire the kingdom of God. God's activity in arranging the affairs of people is radically new through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. "Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" asks Jesus. Well, what is that cup he is referring to? It's the cup of his suffering and his death. Jesus literally took upon himself the death of sinners under God's wrath. As the King of all life, God does arrange the lives of sinners so that they die. But what is strange about the service that Jesus renders is that he himself becomes the victim and does the death to death, replacing it with life, life as a free gift. In that exchange, God buries the sinner with Christ and raises him anew to life in righteousness. It is that exchange that marks entrance into the kingdom of God. That kingdom is present in Jesus Christ. His ministry in this kingdom is this service of getting down to the lowest sinner and the lowest death, and then gathering them to himself and carrying them to the Father as resurrected children of the Father. Asking for the kingdom of God is asking to drink the cup of Jesus Christ, to drink it with him. To ask it is to get it. But before we ask that, we had best heed Jesus' question about drinking that cup with him. When we drink his cup, we die to self. We die to that natural principle which resides in all of us by nature, which says, "Me first." Even as we separate ourselves from this slavery of self-attachment, we become connected with new life in Christ. To drink the Lord's cup is not only to die to self, but it is also to be born into newness of life, the kind that is created by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. God's mercy is seen in his new way of arranging our lives with himself. It is the way of death with Jesus Christ, so that we may also live with him. This saying is sure. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithful or faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Well, two problems confront us as we spell out this life of service that we partake of in the kingdom of God. One problem is the general human reluctance to serve without any guarantee of return. Or to put it another way, if we can't be boss, we will settle, however reluctantly, to be the hired man. But by no means will we settle to be slave. We prefer being an employee to being a slave. And the other problem that confronts us is that we prefer to serve God on our own terms. We prefer to love God only to a limited extent, and we like to define that extent, be it Sunday morning worship, table prayers at mealtime, perhaps an occasional meeting at our churches. And not only that, but we prefer to love only those neighbors that are friendly to us. course, this cannot be. Life in the kingdom of God means that one's place and action are not determined by oneself, but determined by that of the Master. His death and resurrection brought us into the kingdom in which he might separate us from that kind of life tied up in ourselves, and thus raise us to newness of life in which he is Lord. Furthermore, we need to realize that while service is to be our activity in the kingdom, not all service activities are godly. There are many service activities indeed that acknowledge God neither in their origin nor in their goals. There are many such service clubs in this world. The church is not one of them. Service is a mark of life in the kingdom of God, but it is not the source of that life. The disciple of God has the human form of servanthood. He serves indeed. But he does not only serve, he is servant. This is the form of his life. He is dead to that form of life which is bent only upon satisfying its own desires and whims. Like the Son of Man, his Lord, he comes to serve and not be served. But the key to his service is the will of the Lord. He does not choose his own will as his form of service. The will of the Master forms his life of service. Therefore, his service as servant is shaped by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. In the kingdom of God, greatness is servanthood, not to our own desires, but to the will of Christ. To help us understand this form of servanthood, consider what it means to be a servant, a slave to others. In contrast to a master, a slave does not have charge of his own life. He does not determine the sphere of his activity or his goals. As servants of Christ, we do not choose our own self-serving goals, but rather, by the working of the Holy Spirit, we subject ourselves to the will of God, which says that we should be the servant of all. The slave's life is totally in the hand of his master. Even so, our lives in the kingdom of God are dependent upon God. But even as we place ourselves under his will and seek to serve him, in so doing, we become first in the kingdom of God. By so doing, we imitate the example of Christ, the first and true servant who was sent to do the will of God. Thus, the servant is the first in the kingdom of God. The first and great son of the kingdom came not to be served, but to serve. He trusted God to give him life from the dead. His firstness lies in that. No one else, not in all of Israel, walked in that faith. Hence, Jesus is the first. He is the maker of the servant life. His service was to ransom us from the power and the guilt of sin. To be a slave in the kingdom of God is to entrust one's life to that ransom. Such union with God through faith in Christ animates us and makes us freedmen of the gospel. Freed from self-service, freed for service to God and to our neighbors. When we live in that freedom, we serve without looking for self-exaltation over those whom we serve. We accept the service that God has placed us into. We glory that He has seen fit to call us into that service. And we serve using as our model Jesus, the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.